Now, step into our time in God's Word. So if you need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. We'd be happy to get one to you to borrow for tonight if you need one of those. Go ahead and raise your hand if you need a Bible. So tonight, we are going to continue in our series called Foundations. I know it's been a couple weeks since we've been in this series again. And so all semester we have been looking at different topics on helping us build a strong foundation of faith. And we've covered everything from who God is, to is the Bible legit, who is Satan, all these different areas that are important for us to understand, to know what we believe so we can have a firm foundation of faith. And so before we dive into tonight's topic, I want to ask you guys a question. So Willow Creek Community Church is a church outside of Chicago. A number of years ago, they did a study, and they wanted to figure out what some of the top reasons that people don't go to church. So they did this whole study to figure out what were some of the biggest reasons why people don't go to church. And so I'm curious, do you have any guesses as to why people don't typically go to church? This isn't like a trick question or anything. Don't worry. Like, I'm just genuinely wondering, why do people typically not want to go to church? Yeah, Julio? Right? It's just not my thing, right? Yeah, Althea? Yeah, it takes up their weekend. I got to get up Sunday morning. Boo, right? Yeah. Okay, work, schedules. Yeah, Kira? Okay, yeah, it seems like, well, this is really a lot to handle, a lot to take in. Yeah, good. Brandon? Okay, yeah, boring. They're like, this is, whatever. Yeah, Julio? Okay, yeah, they might come and think, people are going to judge me, right? Yeah, good. Byron? Right, yeah, like, oh, man, the church is just full of hypocrites. Like, they say one thing and they do other things, so why would I choose to go hang out with them, right? Yeah, any other thoughts as to why people don't go to church? Maybe other things that you've heard people say? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right? If we have the Bible at home, then why do you need to go to church, right? Like, what's the big deal? All right, that's a great, great answer. Yeah, Kira? Yeah, maybe they've gone to church and it didn't go too well, and they're like, yeah, never again. No way, no thanks, right? Yeah. And so I'm sure there are a lot of reasons why people typically don't go to church. Well, let me share the top five reasons that they found. Church is boring. Church is irrelevant. They're always asking for money. I'm too busy already, and I feel awkward when I come to church. Those are the top reasons that people said as to why they don't go to church. And maybe some of you have thought these. Maybe some of those you think now. That's okay. We're glad that you're here. And you probably are maybe unaware, but nearly 50% of students think that church is really not that important. So a lot of people all over the place recognize, I don't think church is really that important. It's not really a big deal. Well, if there are so many churches, then is it a big deal? Should it be a big deal? Well, tonight, we're going to look at the question, what is the church? And is it important? Okay, so we're going to kind of a two-parter in a way. What is the church, and is the church important? Okay, so a few weeks ago, the week before Easter, when we had our last study in this series, we talked about salvation, right? So the week before that, we looked at who Jesus is. Then we talked about what is the message of Jesus, and that was all about salvation, okay, putting our faith in Jesus. And so when we place our faith in Jesus, when we trust him for the forgiveness of our sins, then what happens? Like, do we just place our faith in Jesus and we're like, okay, good, we're just hanging out until we are with him in heaven? Is that what happens? Well, pull out your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1, verse 12. So if you open your Bible like halfway, turn some to the right. If you see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. If you're not sure, ask a friend. No worries at all. Use the table of contents in the front. We want to show you exactly what the Bible says. So turn to John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, verse 12. And so would anyone like to read that for us, since you hear me talk a while tonight already? Would someone be willing to read verse 12 for us when you get there? Anybody care to read? Yeah, Kira, thank you. Great. So when we place our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, what happens? So in light of what this verse says, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, what happens to us according to this verse? So what happens after we place our faith in Jesus? What do you see here? Anybody else? Good. Go ahead, Kira. Get the ball rolling here for us. Okay, we become children of God. Now, a number of weeks ago, we talked about being made in the image and likeness of God. But being made in the image and likeness of God is different than being a child of God. And what's the difference? Placing our faith in Jesus. And so when we place our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, we are given the right to become children of God. And so when you are in Christ, when you have a relationship with Jesus, you are now a child of God. And so what does that mean? You're a part of the family of God. When you place your faith in Jesus, you are a part of the family of God. We are family, right? Okay, tough crowd. All right, we'll get you guys some sugar or something later. All right, when you place your faith in Jesus, you become a part of the family of God. And do you know what other way the Bible describes the family of God? It's a word that we're all familiar with. Everyone say church. Essentially, the church is the family of God. And now you're thinking, well, wait a minute. When I hear the word church, what typically comes to your mind right away? A building, right? So maybe some of you are thinking, oh, we are in church right now. And so when you leave later, you're like, okay, well, I just left church, right? I'm going to go to church this week. As in, we are in church right now. And so typically, when we hear that word church, we think building, naturally, right? Well, actually, that's not really what the Bible teaches. And so the Greek word that's used for the word church is ekklesia. Everyone say ekklesia. You don't have to add the ch on it. It just makes you sound really smart if you're like, ekklesia. Okay, just don't get any phlegm on anybody near you. That's gross. And so this Greek word, ekklesia, is actually not a religious word in all for all intents and purposes. And so if you were living in the time of Jesus and someone used this word, ekklesia, it wouldn't actually have any religious affiliation. Because ekklesia really just refers to an assembly or a gathered group of people. And so if you were in the time of Jesus and you're walking down the marketplace looking for some, you know, fish and loaves of bread for your dinner, and you're like, whoa, look at that ekklesia over there. You might just see a big group of people skateboarding. No, I don't think they skateboarded, but it's just this gathered group of people. That's what they would call an ekklesia. And so it's basically an assembly of people. And I'm sure when you hear the word assembly, you probably think of maybe a school assembly, right? And what is a school assembly? Everyone gathers together for a, usually, specific purpose, right? Well, that's basically what the core of this word means. It's an assembly. It's the gathering of people. And most everyone understands the word church to mean a building. But what the Bible actually teaches is that the root meaning of church is not a building, but rather it's the gathering of the family of God. And so the church, biblically speaking, is when the gathered family of God is together. Because look at what Paul writes in Romans 16:5. Greet also the church in their house. And so at this time, there was a large group of believers who assembled, gathered together. And so Paul says, greet those in their house. And so Paul says, hey, say hello to the gathering of Christians that are meeting where? In that house. And so there are two distinctions that I want to make sure you understand here, is we can refer to church in two ways, okay? There's the universal church, and there's the local church, okay? And let me explain those two distinctions. And so if you're in John, turn to the book of Ephesians, which is kind of a couple books to the right. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And again, the reason why I want to have you guys open your Bible and turn there so you can see it for yourself and get familiar turning the pages so you can read on your own. So Ephesians 1. Bless you. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. Would someone like to read that for us? Anybody? Brandon? Thanks, man. Okay, awesome. So as you look at this passage, what does this passage tell us about the church? How does this passage describe the church? Take a look at it. Read it again for a second. What does this tell us, or what does this describe to us about the church? Yeah, Ben. Okay, it's Jesus' body. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. This is getting really trippy. Kira, you want to add to that? Okay, Christ is the head, and so the church is the body, right? And so the church, in one sense, is the whole body of Christ. And so when we say the universal church, what that means is the universal church consists of everyone, everywhere, who has had a personal relationship with Jesus. So if you've placed your faith in Jesus, you are a child of God, you are a part of the family of God. And so no matter where you are on the face of the earth, if you have placed your faith in Jesus, trusting him for the forgiveness of your sins, then you are part of the family of God. And so let me give you an example. I've gone to South Africa a number of times over the years to do some mission trips and work with churches down there. And when I was there, I got to spend time with other believers in Jesus. I got to spend time with people who placed their faith in Jesus. And now, they didn't look like me, they didn't talk like me, they didn't eat the same foods that I ate, they didn't dress the same way, they were completely different. But because they received and believed in Jesus, upon meeting them, we are automatically brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because we are part of the family of God. And so when we talk about the universal church, what we mean specifically is all believers of Jesus everywhere. Whether you're in Europe, Asia, Africa, Antarctica, South America, everywhere, Christians all make up the body of Christ. And that's what's so amazing is when you get to go on trips overseas and meet people who worship Jesus, who are so different from you, yet you can have such unity and friendship because what unifies us? Jesus. So that is the universal church, all Christians everywhere. Okay, so that's kind of one distinction. When we say the church, we mean Christians everywhere. But then there is the local church, which is the localized assembly of disciples of Jesus Christ. And so what does that mean? People who are locally gathered together, right? Because if we were supposed to, as Christians all over the world, gather every week for worship, we would spend a lot of time traveling each week if we all across the world had to get together for worship. That'd be a long drive. You think it's long now? Okay, well, I got to go 20 hours, and then we got to go to church and come back. And so that's why, as you read the New Testament, or the second part of the Bible here, we see all these different letters written to specific churches in specific locations, right? And so Paul writes to the church in Corinth. You have the Corinthians. He writes to the church in Galatia, in Ephesus. And so many of these letters are written specifically to the church, the gathered church in this specific area. But not all gatherings of believers are considered the church, though. It can be easy to think, oh, well, if there's just a couple Christians together, that must mean we're just a local church, right? But there's a distinction, because a Christian conference isn't essentially the church. Student Life Camp that we go to, we worship with students from all over the place, like hundreds of people. While that's amazing and powerful, that gathering of students isn't the local church. Why? Because the local church is a group of Christians every age and stage of life who gather together in a certain place and are committed to one another. And so you can experience aspects of the local church when we go to camp and if you go to like a Christian conference, stuff like that. But the local church is when believers of every age of life, every stage of life are gathered together and they're committed to one another. Why? Because it's the family of God. And plus, local churches are not something that we came up with. It's not like, you know, pastors many years ago are like, you know what would be a good idea if we just like establish these local churches? Because I don't want to travel like really far away to go to church. In Revelation 1 through 3, we see Jesus addressing specific individual churches. And so what does that mean? Being connected to and a part of a local church is not optional. Jesus commands us to be involved and connected to a church. And so nowhere in the scripture does it tell us that being involved in a church is optional. There's no verse that says, hey, you know, church is a good thing. You don't have to be a part of it. You don't have to be connected to it. It's totally up to you. There's no verse that says that. And if you find one, I think your Bible is maybe misprinted because there's no verse that says that. And so tonight, I want to give you 3 reasons among many why the local church is important. Okay. And so the first reason is this. The local church is not a suggestion. It's God's will for his people. The local church is not a suggestion. It's God's will for his people. And so turn to the book of Hebrews, a couple more books to the right. You're getting towards the end of the Bible here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24 and 25. Let me read that for us as you turn there as well. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Okay. So as you read that verse and as you look at this verse, what does this tell us about the church? How does this verse describe the local church, the family of God? What do you see here in this? Thoughts, ideas, Bronwyn? What's that? Yeah, we should be eager to get together so we can encourage one another. Yeah, great. Other thoughts? What else does this Hebrews passage teach us or describe to us about local church? Yeah. Yeah, it's important now as well, right? Like when you think about so many years ago when the authors who were led by God to write these words, even then they said it's important to get together. And so we think that like not being committed to the church is like a problem for today. Way back then, they were still struggling to get connected to the church. And so verse 25, what does it say? Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Hey-o, right? He says, not neglecting to meet together. And so what does that mean? Well, the writer is essentially asking a question. Well, how do we stir up one another to show love and do good works, right? How do we encourage one another? How do we do good works together? Well, what is the answer? We gather together. Followers of Jesus are called to assemble. We're called to get together. You know, if you, anybody a Marvel fan here? Okay. All right. You know how Captain America is always like, Avengers, assemble, right? You know, he's the whole thing. Well, that's essentially what the church is supposed to do, to gather together, to assemble, to not neglect to get together. And so here's the reality. The Christian life is not meant to be done alone. Being together, gathering in the name of Jesus, is part of the essence of the church. Because look at what Ephesians says. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom. And so, did you know that God desires to use the church to show the world who he is? God uses the church to show the world who he is. And if that's the case, how are we supposed to do that if we don't gather together? If the church is supposed to show the whole world how loving God is, how amazing God is, how caring he is, how are we supposed to do that if we're all like scattered all over the place, not working together, joining together to help our communities to show love? And so God wants to use the church, the family of God, his people, to show others who he is. And, you know, it can be easy for us to say, well, you know, I have a Bible, I have, you know, a worship Spotify playlist, I, you know, have a few Christian friends, I listen to some spiritual podcasts, you know, whatever. So I have all those things, so I don't really need the local church. Or, you know what, I follow some, like, Christian pastors or, you know, cool people on TikTok. That's all I need. I watch online services all the time. That's good enough. I don't want to go or get connected to a local church. Well, while all those things are good and helpful, if we say that those things take the place of the gathering of God's people, that's not God's desire and design. And that belief and approach is really, I think, what Satan wants to use so we don't get together. Because the world is shaped and transformed when the body of Christ is together and we are in unison going out and sharing the love of Jesus. And so, not only is the church God's will, it's also God's design, okay? All right, so that's the first reason. Number two, if you want to grow in your faith, you need the church. And so I'm going to guess that for the most part, if you're here tonight, on some level, you have a desire to learn more about the Bible, grow in your faith, God, or kind of just even see what all of this is about, right? And so, you know, don't raise your hands or anything, but I want to just ask you this question. Do you want a deeper relationship with Jesus? Do you want to learn more about who God is? Do you want to have a firm foundation of faith? Do you want to understand more of what this transformational book says and what it means for your life? If you want any of those things, then guess what? You need the church. Why? Well, look at what Hebrews 12, verse 1 says. I don't have it up on the screen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay. So according to this verse, what are we called to do according to the last few words? So in light of what this passage says, what are we supposed to do? What is it telling us we should do? Okay, what's the action here? Yeah, Macy? Run, okay? You're like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm supposed to run? I am not a runner. That's not my thing, right? But it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're called to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Well, what does that mean? In other words, to do what Jesus is asking us to do. If we are to run the race that is set before us, what does that mean? We are called to faithfully pursue what Jesus is asking us to do. Right? And whether or not you realize it, but Jesus has a plan and purpose for your life. He wants to use you for great and amazing things, to change the world. Whether or not you realize it, you have a plan and purpose, and he wants to use you. But what comes before that? At the very beginning, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, wait, what does that mean? If you want to run the race that Jesus has before you, if you want to follow after Jesus, it starts with surrounding ourselves with other believers, the church. If you want to do what Jesus is calling you to do, then you need to be a part of the church. You might be able to be on your own for a while following Jesus, but ultimately, we need to be connected to the church, to be connected together. And so if you want to truly be a disciple of Jesus, to follow him with your head, with your heart, and with your hands, then you can't fully do so without being connected to a local, multi-generational church, meaning people of all ages and stages of life. And so, yes, this gathering here is a part of the church, but it's only a picture of the church. Because the church is for people of all ages. One body, different parts, right? If we are all the body of Christ, we are made uniquely gifted in different areas. This is a piece of the church, but it's not the church together. Because we need older Christians, and guess what? Older Christians need you too. Because if you say, you know what, I'm going to go to church, and you view just this as your church, wow, that's great, and we're thankful that you're here, but you're still missing out on so much more that God has for us. We're called to be gathered together, people of all ages, every walk of life, because the gospel is for all people, so you know what the church should be? A place for all people. You know what it should look like? A place for all people. And well, maybe you're thinking, okay, well, wait a minute. The church is full of hypocrites. The church is full of messed up people who have hurt me. You know, this church community that you're so excited about, do you not realize how extremely flawed that they are? I've met some people in church and they are hypocrites. They are messed up people. They have a lot of flaws. If you think that, I'm going to completely agree with you. You're exactly right. You know why? Because hurt people hurt people. What does that mean? We all are hypocrites. We all struggle. And so what is our natural tendency? To end up not encourage others. And so not going to church because of all the hypocrites is like not going to a gym because of all the out of shape people, right? You don't go to a gym and go, okay, I'm here to get ripped, and go, there are a lot of people here who are not jacked. This is not my place, right? You don't think that. You go to the gym to get swole, right? Is that what they say? I don't know. You go to the gym to get strong. But the reality is, none of us are perfect. That includes me. That includes all of your leaders. There's not a single person who has ever stepped foot into a church building that is perfect. I'm on the same level as you guys. Because we don't go to church, we don't attend these gatherings saying that we have it all together. The reason why we gather is so that we can deepen our relationship with Jesus, so we can learn more about what the Bible says. And maybe you've heard this before, but the church, the gathering of God's people, it's not meant to be a museum for the perfect. It's meant to be a hospital for the broken. Meaning we don't gather together to say, look at how great I am. I'm so perfect, so smart and godly. Look at me. Look at all you non-godly people in the church today. No, we don't do that. The reason why we should get together is because we acknowledge that we need God's help. We need to be together so we can learn more about who he is. Because nobody's perfect. And well, maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor Nick, you're a pastor. Of course the church is important. Because if the church wasn't here, you probably wouldn't have a job, right? Of course you're preaching this message. Well, newsflash, guess what? I didn't make any of it up. I'm just here to tell you what it says. I didn't invent the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And so look at what the Bible also says. It says a lot of things about the church. It says that the church is a place where we bear one another's burdens. We grow in faith together. We receive encouragement when we don't think we can continue on. We see and experience God in powerful ways. We hold each other up when Satan attacks. We experience family in ways that maybe we have not experienced family before. And this one is important to me because I'm not really that close to my family. And so when I trusted in Jesus and I got connected to a local church, those people literally adopted me and became like family to me. And so maybe you're coming from a broken, imperfect family. Well, again, the church is not a perfect place with perfect people, but it can offer family in ways that maybe you don't necessarily have. The church is a place where it offers the kind of community that unites people of every race, socioeconomic status, language, political view. No matter what, the church brings people together. Why? To display the presence of God to the world. And these are just a few examples. I have a lot of slides as to why the church is important. And so these are just a few examples of what the church community offers. And so if you're not connected to a local church, then you're really missing out. Okay. So that's the second one. And the third and last one is this. Not only do you need the church, but guess what? The church needs you. The church needs you. Look at what 1 Corinthians 12 says. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, and so it is with Christ. And so the body of Christ, the church, is very diverse because it's made up of different people. But in order for the church to function in the way it's supposed to function, it needs every part of the body working together. Right? You may think, well, why do I feel so different from others? That's because God designed you that way. And it requires each and every one of us using our God-given gifts to show the world who he is, to function together, right? Let me think about it this way. Maybe if you're a fan of sports, right? And maybe let's say football, for instance. Imagine your favorite football team starts the season off this fall, and they say, you know what, we're switching up our playbook. All of our players are going to be quarterbacks. Even the offensive line are going to be quarterbacks. Everyone are going to be quarterbacks. Do you think that football team would get very far? Probably not, right? Those defensive linemen would just push them over, right? Or maybe you're a musical. Imagine, okay, you're going to have an orchestra concert coming up soon. Imagine your whole band is going to play this beautiful arrangement of music, and the only instruments you have are triangles, right? Might sound funny and cute and hilarious, but you're probably not going to be able to play the right kind of music if you're all playing the same instrument. And so likewise, in order for the church to do what the church is supposed to do, it requires each and every one of us being here and being present. And so let me just say this to you all. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have placed your faith in Jesus, if there's a time in your life where you say, Jesus, I trust in you for the forgiveness of my sins, and I fully commit my life to you. If you've done that, then guess what? You are a part of the church now. If you place your faith in Jesus, you are a part of the church now. And maybe you think, you know what? Well, the church doesn't need me. Well, that's not true. Because again, if you have a relationship with Jesus, then you are a part of the body of Christ, which means we need you. You don't become part of the church after you graduate or when you get a college degree or, you know, if you have a family someday, you know, you get to a certain age. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you are a part of the church now. That means you have a place here. It means you belong here because you are a part of the family of God. And listen to what verse 21 says later on down in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. What does that mean? If you are missing from the local church, it means that the body of Christ is missing a part of that body. When you're not connected here and serving, being a part of what God is doing, we miss you. There is a place for you. So what does that mean? The church needs you. And that's why we want to do everything we can to help you get plugged in and connected to the church. Not just TNT, but the church as a whole, every age and stage of life. Because God wants to use you and your gifts to accomplish abundantly more than you could ever imagine. God wants to use you. Because remember, God doesn't make junk. You are God's masterpiece. You have a plan and purpose. And you might not think that or realize that, but you do. You have a place. And we don't just get together for church because it's just a tradition, because it's something that we do. We don't get together every Sunday morning or together as the local body of Christ because it's just something that we've always done. We get together, we assemble, because it's who we are, the church. So again, this doesn't mean that the church is perfect, because we're not. Each and every one of us, including myself, are broken, sinful people. We're all imperfect, but that is not an excuse for us to ignore or reject getting connected to the church. Over the years, I've had so many students tell me, well, I don't want to go to church because the church is just, you know, full of hypocrites. And jokingly, if I know them well, I usually respond with saying, yeah, you're right. And there's a place for you next to me if you want to come. Why? Because we're all hypocrites, right? We've all said we want to do something or live a certain way, and we don't actually do that. Why? Because we're not perfect. But even in light of that, even in light of our imperfections, God loves his church. Even in light of us being all messed up, sinful people, God still loves us. Listen to what Ephesians 5 says. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. You want to know how much Jesus loves his church? Look to the cross. He gave up his life for the church. And so if you truly love Jesus, then you should love the church. Now again, that doesn't mean that we're perfect, because we're not. No church that you will be a part of is perfect. I'm telling you that right now. But that imperfection doesn't excuse us from just being disconnected. Because to love Jesus and not love the church is honestly not biblical. Because it goes against the very heart of God. Why? Because the church is the bride of Christ. And Jesus loves the church because he views the church as his bride. And so Jesus is standing at the altar, looking down the aisle towards the church with nothing but love, anticipation, and commitment, right? If you've ever been to a wedding, right, you see the groom at the front, and there's always that part in the ceremony where the bride walks in and starts to walk down the aisle, right? And everyone stands up and looks, and the groom is up there. You know, sometimes they're like trying not to make a face because they're so nervous, or maybe they start to tear up, right? But they get some sort of emotion because they see their bride coming down the aisle. And that's exactly how Jesus views the church. And so as someone who is married, I know what that's like. Looking down the aisle and seeing your bride coming down the walkway. There are no words to describe it. Yes, this is a picture of me when Laura was walking down the aisle. And you know what? I cried. Come at me, bro. It's awesome. It was a great day. Why? Because as she walked down the aisle, I knew that she wasn't thinking, look at this perfect guy. He's just so amazing. She knows my imperfections. Because I'm not perfect, but you know what? She still loved me. And still loves me. And so that feeling of staring down the aisle, seeing the bride starting to walk down, that feeling of emotion, that feeling of love is barely scratching the surface to how Jesus views his church. It's not even close to how much he loves the church. And so if Jesus views his bride, the local church, the gathering of God's people, the family of God, if Jesus loves him that much, if Jesus loves his church so much that he willingly laid down his life for us so we could have a restored relationship with him, if Jesus loves the church that much, then shouldn't we? That's what we should pursue. And that's why Paul said this about Jesus. He gave up his life for her, referring to the church. If you want to know how much Jesus loves the church, think about what we celebrated at Easter just a few weeks ago. And so why do I think the church is important? Why does the Bible say the church is important? Because the church is the body of Christ. And so to reject the body is to reject the head, who is Jesus. If Jesus is the head of the church and followers of Jesus are the body of Christ, then to reject the church really means to reject Jesus. And so I want to leave you with this. Jesus loves his church, and so should we. Because to reject the church is to reject Christ. If you say, you know what, I really love Jesus. Jesus is amazing. I want a relationship with him, but ain't nobody got time for the church. Well, that's how much Jesus loves the church. And so to reject his bride is to reject Jesus. And again, I hope you hear me saying this. That doesn't mean that the church is perfect. Every person you meet when the church gathers together is not perfect. There will be times that I let you down, that people will let you down. But that doesn't mean we don't get together. Why? Because it reminds us of who will never let us down, and that is Jesus, who is the head. And I know the church can have a lot of imperfections, but Jesus views his bride with love and care. And I can speak from my own experience. The local church has been such a huge part of my life that I really believe if it wasn't for caring believers in the church walking through life with me, helping me, I don't know if I would be here today. And so I would encourage you to think about what we've talked about tonight. And so are you perfect? No. But Jesus loves you and he died for you. Does that mean the church is perfect? No. But Jesus loves the church. And because Jesus loved the church, that is why I love the church. And the church has changed my life, and I know it can change yours. But you have to put the work into getting connected. And so, will you reject the church, or will you seek out the church together? Okay. Also, as we wrap up here, I'll put a QR code on the screen that has all the notes from our lesson tonight. So if you miss things, feel free to scan that, and you can grab those notes from there. Okay. Before we go into small groups and give you some time to kind of process and reflect a little bit, and then we'll finish out the night hanging out together in the gym and all that. Before you go to small groups, and then we'll finish the night hanging out, let me just pray for all of you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for what you have done for the church, the gathering of God's people. God, I pray that even though we know that the church is not perfect, each and every person in the church is not perfect, help us to love the church as you loves them. Help us to show such love and grace and care that reflects the very heart of Christ. And I pray that we would find ways to get connected and plugged in and not let the imperfection dictate the future. Because you, while we were still sinners, died for us. And so likewise, that's how we should engage with the church. And so lead us as we process, and then allow some good conversations tonight as we hang out. And it's in your name we pray.